We are close to finishing up a series that we started a few weeks ago called Why We. And we've just been talking about why do we do certain things? Why do we baptize people we talked about first? Why do we do communion? Why do we worship? Why do we sing? Last week Jason talked about why do we do small groups, kind of why do we get together outside of Sunday morning, and why do we spend some time together, growing together in the scriptures and in community together. And so this week, this is your first time in church in a while, or first time in our church, I just want to tell you, we don't talk about this every week, but it just so happens that you showed up on the week that we're going to talk about why do we give? Why do we give our money? And so I promise you, you can ask people who've been here for a long time. I don't talk about this every week. This is not, and it's sort of this stereotypical thing that all churches do is talk about money. That's what we're after. We're after your wallet. We're after your checkbook. That's kind of why we're here. And I just want to tell you, that's not how we operate here. However, we are talking about why do we give, because it's an important piece of what we do as a church community and how we operate together in the kingdom of God and what we do for God and his kingdom and his work in this world. And so this morning, if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, I'm going to give you this caveat right now. You're not a follower of Jesus. You can just tune the whole thing out. Promise. None of this applies to you. You could just say, I don't want to do that. Fine, you're not a follower of Jesus. I have no problem with that. However, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, then you can't tune it out. Does that make sense? So if you're here for the first time, you're just coming back to church, and you said, all you churches talk about is money, and there's Keith, he's talking about money again. Fine, tune me out. I'm so fine with that. But if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, then you can't tune me out. Can we agree on that? All right. So a few years ago, I was at a conference talking to or hearing a pastor talk about church-related stuff and church leadership stuff. And this particular pastor was talking about kind of the way that they approach things in their church and in their structure. And he was talking about this idea that in their church and in their structure, they place a high value on commitment, and they place a high value on people actually being serious about committing to the work of the church, the support of the church, and just kind of, they were just saying that they just took it very seriously. And so he said he was in this conversation with a man who was thinking about, who had been attending the church for a period of time and was kind of getting this vibe that everything was very serious and it was a very committed kind of place to be. And he asked the pastor in this conversation, he said, so is your church a law church or is your church a grace church? Are you a law church or are you a grace church? And here's kind of the breakdown. Are you the kind of church that would be really burdensome and is going to expect a lot from me? Or are you kind of a grace church where just everything goes, it doesn't really matter, you just show up every once in a while when you feel like it? Because what we feel like, right, is a law church is really burdensome. They place kind of these heavy loads on our shoulders and on our backs. And then if we're a grace church, then we just kind of, grace just lets you do whatever you want to do because that's what grace does, right? And so eventually in the conversation, he was telling the story. He said, we got down to the real issue. It wasn't really about whether they were a law church or a grace church. It really centered on this one question of, do you ask people to give 10% of their income? Do you ask people to tithe or not? Because if you do that, then you're a law church. You're kind of throwing this burden on top of people's shoulders. But if you don't do that, then you're a grace church, and I'm totally fine. I would love to be part of this because I can just kind of float in and out, and I can do whatever it is that I want to do. A grace church, in his estimation, wouldn't really care because grace doesn't change us, apparently. Grace just kind of lets us go along and do whatever we've always been doing. And do whatever we want to do. And I love the response of the pastor. Man, it will always stick with me. He looked at the man and he responded kind of the way that I think Jesus might respond. He said, oh no, we are definitely a grace church. We are definitely a grace church. Here's why we're a grace church. We would never stop you at 10%. Right? Like, we would never tell you, 10%, that's so good. You're done. Don't worry about it. We're a grace church. He says, no, grace goes beyond what the law requires. Grace actually kind of extends us out beyond what we're supposed to do and kind of extends us into this place where we start to do things, not because we have to, but we want to. Because something changes inside of our hearts. And so let's just acknowledge this morning, we're talking about money, we're talking about giving, and giving and money are touchy subjects. Can we all agree on that? Because every one of us feels like that's a personal thing, and Keith, you're, you know, pastor, and you're going to kind of start messing with stuff that feels personal to me, and it gets a little bit touchy, and it gets a little bit kind of overplayed. And here's the honest thing. I'm just going to be honest this morning because that's the best thing that I can do. In church world, there have definitely been times that people have talked about money and have manipulated it and have abused it. Can we agree with that? Like you see, I'll probably get myself in trouble, but you see it on TV, right? Because if you sow your seed into our ministry, then all of a sudden, you know, like all this blessing is going to come back. And what they mean by blessing is money is going to come back to you, right? Sow your seed here and thousands of dollars will be miraculously deposited. Those are the stories that they tell, right? Are miraculously deposited in your account the next day, right? And pastors have pumped and kind of manipulated and shied it and done all that whole thing to try to kind of manipulate this conversation around money. And we've made it all about some of the wrong things, if we were to be honest this morning, because it's not about amounts and it's percentages and it's not about whole dollars that you give and it's not about any of that kind of stuff. The issue is always about our heart. The issue is always about what goes on inside of us, not just what goes on inside of our checkbook. It's about what goes on inside of our heart, and therefore what comes. Our Jesus is always after our hearts. And so when we talk about giving this morning, we're not even going to talk about dollars. I'm not going to give you some amount that you have to give before you walk in the door next week. I promise it's not going to happen, right? All we're going to do is just talk about your heart. Can we do that this morning? We just talk about our heart, because here's what I understand. Here's what I think is true. What we do with our dollars is an indicator of what's going on inside of our hearts. What we do with our money is actually an indicator of what goes on inside of our hearts. Because here's what I know about you. I don't have to see your checkbook or anything. Here's what I know about you. You spend money on the things that you care about. Right? I spend money on the things that I care about. That's a frightening subject sometimes for me to think about. Right? And if I really start to examine this morning, I'll get myself in trouble. But you spend money, I spend money on the things that matter to our hearts. Starts to become an indicator. So the issue is not the dollar amount, right? The issue is what's going on inside of our hearts. And here's the other reason why we talk about why we give in a public setting like this. It's because we are a community. And so again, some of you, this is your first Sunday and you don't really feel like you're part of our community. I totally get that. I understand that. I just want you to kind of think about this theoretically. But those of you who are part of our community on a week-to-week basis, and this is your place, this is your church, this is your community, for us, what we give and why we give is actually a matter of public issue and public concern. And what that doesn't mean, let's just be straight, is that next week we're going to throw up the giving records on the screen and we say, well, so-and-so gave this much last week. How much did you give? That's not what I mean. What I mean is that together we are committed to being the church that God asks us to be in the world. And because we are together committed to that, we actually start to channel our resources together into the same direction so that we can have a greater impact on our community and on our world through the resources that God has provided to us and through the resources that God has given to us. We're going to go this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if I can get my thing to slide up. There it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 1 and we're going to read to verse 9. And then we're going to go to chapter 9 and we're going to read some of that. There's two chapters in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, which are really all about giving. It's a way that Paul kind of picks up on something that he had said in his first letter to the Corinthians. He had talked about the fact that he was taking up a collection for some of the needs of the people in Jerusalem, and that they were supposed to be setting aside some money for that collection so that when Paul came back to them, he could take their offering to the needs of the saints in Jerusalem so that he could actually take care of them. And so in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to kind of follow up with them, because why would he have to follow up? Well, maybe they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, or what they had said they were going to do. Pick it up in chapter 8, verse 1, and this is what he says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Think about that. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they went beyond our expectations, having given themselves first of all to the Lord. They gave themselves by the will of God also to us. And so we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. That's a little hint there. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. If you read those nine verses and you were to kind of take a couple minutes to go back and reread them again, here's what you would find. I'll just break it down for you. You would find over and over again, Paul uses words like overflowing. Paul uses words like abundant, like rich in your generosity, like excelling, like going above and beyond, like doing more than what we expected or doing more than what was expected of these churches. That these group of churches that Paul was writing about, he says, these guys actually begged us to give money to what we were collecting for. They actually begged us to participate in the service that we were providing as we began to minister to the needs of people in the community that we were ministering to. They did not give just out of a legalistic kind of obligation. This was not about we give because we have to. It was all about we give because we want to. And because we believe in what we are giving to. Here's what happens sometimes when we think about what is the least that I could do? What's the least that I could do? And Paul says, these other churches did not think about what's the least, what's the bare minimum, what's the minimum requirement, what's kind of the floor for what I'm supposed to give. And so Paul says to them, he says, look, I'm not going to compel you. I'm not going to command you. I'm not going to put all kinds of legalistic pressure on you from the outside. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm still going to put some pressure on you. Right? So he says, I'm not going to put it on you from the outside. But here's what I'm going to start to ask you to look inside of your heart, and I want you to start to examine what goes on inside of your heart and inside of your soul. And here's what he says. He says, look, guys, there are other churches around you, Corinthians, that are in way worse circumstances than you guys are. And we talk about bad economy like Rhode Island. We talk about bad economy U.S. And we talk just general bad economy stuff. And what Paul is saying is, look, hey, guys, you guys are in the midst of bad economy. There's all kinds of stuff happening in your life and in your situation. But here's the deal, guys. There are other churches that are way worse than you. And yet, even though they're way worse than you, they are outgiving you. He says, I don't know, guys. Are you okay with that? I mean, if you're okay with that, fine. Be okay with that. I'm not going to command you anything. This is kind of Paul's little tweak at them, right? Because I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to tell you what's happening around you. And I'm going to let God by his Spirit start to deal with what's going on inside of your heart. And I'm going to let God by his Spirit start to deal with what you're doing in response to his grace and in response to his mercy. Guys, I just want you to know, you need to know there are other churches that are putting you to shame in the way that they give. Out of their extreme poverty, somehow rich generosity is overflowing from their lives. And I don't understand. They continue to give above and beyond their ability. They're not just asking, well, what's my ability? What's the least that I can do? How can I kind of get away with just doing a little bit here and a little bit there? They're not asking those questions. They're begging us for the privilege of contributing to God's work in the world. And they're willing to go above what we think they were able to do and above and beyond what they think they were able to do. He says, here's the thing, guys. They're going way past not just what you're doing, but what we thought they could do. And they're giving out of their poverty. They're giving out of what they don't even have so that they can supply the needs of what somebody else doesn't have. And the way that Paul describes it and the way that Paul talks about it is similar to, I don't Jesus in the Gospels when he was looking at the temple, and there were a lot of rich people that came in, and they kind of threw a lot of money in the offering box and in the plate, and they said, here we go. And they had a lot of money to give, and so it was not really an issue for them to give it all. And so then he says there was one poor widow who came by, and she took out the very little amount that she had, and she put everything. And Jesus said, stops everything, looks at his disciples and says, hey guys, I just want you to know that that woman just outgave all of the other rich people who walked by her. Because she took out of the little that she had, and she gave generously, and she gave abundantly above and beyond what anybody could have expected of her. That's how she gave. Not because she had to, because she wanted to. And the other thing that you would find as you read through those verses at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is there's a word that comes up over and over again. It's a really little word, but it's a huge concept. And it's this word grace. This word grace keeps coming up over and over again as Paul writes to this church. So here's the thing, guys. I want you to excel in this grace of giving. There are other churches that have experienced grace and are participating grace of giving, and he keeps driving them back to this word, this grace, this unmerited favor of God extended to them, and that they get to actually participate in what God is doing in his work in the world. And ultimately where he drives to is this place at the end of the passage where he says, here's what you have to understand. You know one thing. You know the grace of Jesus that was extended to you. And if you want to talk about giving, and you want to talk about what comes out of your heart, and you want to talk about what comes out of your checkbook, and you want to talk about what comes out of your pockets in the work of God, he says, here's the thing that you have to drive yourself back to. Drive yourself back to understanding, do you know the grace that Jesus extended to you? I mean, do you think about what it was that Jesus would give his life for a person like you and a person like me? When we start to think about the grace that Jesus has extended to us, all of a sudden, our what's the least we can do and what's the minimum requirement and kind of how do we get away with just doing a little bit here and a little bit there, all of a sudden, those questions start to disappear, don't they? Because what we start to see is how great Jesus' love for people like me was. And when we start to think how great Jesus' grace was to us, all of a sudden, nobody has to come twist our arm and say, you need to give more. No pastor, no apostle, no prophet, no teacher says, nobody has to come alongside you and twist your arm into giving more if you start to understand the grace that Jesus has extended to you. And I won't have to coerce you, he says. I won't have to command you. I won't have to do anything for you except lay out in front of you this question. How great is Jesus' love for you? How great is the grace that Jesus has showed you? And if you understand that, our response can never be, what is the least that I can do? If I start to understand the grace that Jesus has extended to me, that Jesus would leave heaven, suffer on earth on a cross for my sin and my brokenness, my question can never be, well, God, so grateful for the cross. I wonder what the minimum I can do for you would be. Right? Does that sound like a person who understands grace? See, because it doesn't sound like a person who understands grace to me. It sounds like a person who understands law and a legalistic obligation and a ritual to give, to do something that we feel like somehow would earn God's favor back to us. And Paul says, I don't want any of that. Here's what I want. I want you to understand the grace that Jesus has extended to you. And when you start to understand that, the question about what's the least I can do starts to go away. We start to compare ourselves to the grace that Jesus has extended to us. And then if you want to flip down, you could go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. And we're just going to read a few verses from this second passage. And if you wanted to later, you could go ahead and you could read the whole two chapters. It's an awesome kind of treatment of this whole question of giving. But he says this, remember this, sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So each of you should decide, should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. And now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Notice he does not say he will enlarge your checkbook. Just clarifying. You will be made rich in every way, which sounds great to us, except we miss the next part, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. He says, I'm not going to give you percentages. I'm not going to give you dollar amounts. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to coerce you. I'm not going to compel you, because God isn't after us compulsion or because somebody put some kind of pressure on our back to do something. He says, the only thing that I'm after is you starting to measure the impact of your giving and what you do for the kingdom of God based on these two things. Do you sow sparingly or do you sow generously? Do you do just kind of the littlest amount that you can possibly get away with? Or are you willing to be generous with everything that you have, every resource that you have? And here's what he says. He understands this. Generous people understand this fundamental concept. Nothing that we have belongs to us. See, because here's what happens, right? We get sidetracked. I get sidetracked. And I start to look around at the stuff that I have, and I start to feel like, well, that's mine. And that's mine too, and that's mine. That's my house, and my car, and my this, and my that, and I've got all of these things. And he's, generous people understand this. God is the one who gave you everything that you have. You have the ability to work and go earn a living. Awesome. You know who gave you the ability to do that? God gave you the ability to do that. God provided richly for you. God provided generously for you, not just in your resources, but fundamentally, God provided richly for you in the grace that he extended to you when he offered his life for you. And he did it so that, as he said in verse 11, so that you and I could be generous in every way and on every occasion. Not so that we could, you know, kind of legalistically kind of figure out, you know, I've got to give this amount because this is what I taught, was taught in the church that I grew up in, or this is what, you know, I feel like Pastor Keith wants me to give. Not because somebody else is compelling you. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give generously so that you can be generous in everything that God asks you to do, so that you can start to view your life through a different lens, so that you can start to view the things that you have in a way that is completely different from the way that you may have been thinking about them even up until this point. And he says, when you're generous, here's what happens. People are affected outside of you. Does that make sense? I mean, we understand that, right? When you give generously, you've all done it at certain points in your life. Some of you are doing it extremely generously right now. And you understand that when you give generously, all of a sudden that starts to affect other people in the community around you. It starts to spread its way out. And he says, here's what happens. When you give generously, all of a sudden thanksgiving and praise starts to go back to God because you've been generous with the stuff that you've been given, because you have experienced God's grace and you are willing to offer everything that you have back to God. You're not grabbing onto it. You're not clinging to it and saying, well, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Because here's what we start to recognize when we see the grace of God in our lives and we see that God has given us everything that we have to give. All of a sudden, we make this incredible realization. I could give everything away, and it wouldn't be enough. I mean, I could give everything away, and it still would not be enough. And I'm not telling you, go sell everything and come give an offering to the church. That's not what I'm saying. But what we start to realize, right, is even if I gave away everything that I had, even if I gave away every resource that I have, even if I spent every last dollar, I emptied out all of my accounts and wrote out all of my checks and said, God, you take it, you do everything with it that you want to do with it. Even if I did all of that, I still have not made a dent in the grace that Jesus extended to me. Does that make sense? Because all of a sudden we start to embrace this idea that this isn't mine. I don't own any of this. I don't have anything. I'm just managing it. And I begin to look at my life differently. And I start to see the way that God has provided for me differently. Because God's providing in my life all of a sudden allows me to turn around and invest in what He wants to do in the world. It allows me the privilege, not the obligation, right? And there's a huge difference between those two things. It's not an obligation. It's not an I have to. But we understand grace extended to us. All of a sudden, I want to. We start to move from, oh boy, such a burden, to such a joy to participate in what God is doing in the world and to be able to contribute to it, to be able to respond to God's grace in my life, and not because someone coerced me or made me or told me I had to, simply because I want to. Here's what we believe. Here's why we New Life. And again, if you are here for the first time and you're not part of our community, you're part of another church community, you're part of another, I'm not begging you for money. I promise you. I'm not. But we who are here and are part of this community, here's why. We believe that we're actually part of God's kingdom work in the world. And I won't apologize for saying that, because I think it's true. Right? So like, the things that we do here at this church are not so that we can kind of build ourselves a big name. It's not so that I can be famous. It's not, you can tell that because I'm not. It's not so that everybody knows who we are. It's not so that we would be the coolest church in town. And it's not so that we could be, I'm sorry. It is not so that we could be anything other than agents that God uses for His glory in our community. That's all that I want. That's all that we want. And so when we give because we believe that actually together we can impact this community in ways that are greater than what any of us could do on our own. Does that make sense? So when we come together and we actually begin to kind of put everything together and we say, God, would you take this and would you direct it to everything that you want, to everything that you intend, we believe that we can actually go beyond just what any one of us could accomplish if we just went out in our community and said, I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't need the church. You know, that whole church thing, they're always after my money. I'm just going to do it my way. And here's what I think we believe. We together are part of God's work in this community, and we together support what God does through this community and in this community. And here's why. It's because Jesus has been gracious to us. I do not give my offering to New Life because somebody told me I had to. I don't do it because someone coerced me into doing it, and I don't do it because someone manipulated me. I just do it because I understand that no matter what I gave, it doesn't even begin to touch what Jesus gave to me. And even if I was the most generous person on the face of the earth, I still have not outgiven the grace that God has extended to me. And so we don't ask you to give if you're part of this community because we want to manipulate you into doing something or we want to lay some burden on your back. We just ask you to do it because of the grace that Jesus has extended to you. And here's what I'm promising, right? I'm not going to go home tomorrow and check and how did that work? Was the offering up this week? I just want you to understand. You to understand the grace that Jesus has shown. And you to understand that when you understand that, you start to prioritize his mission in the world over other things. And our job, my job as a pastor, as a leader in the church, and our job, we've got people who are responsible for those decisions. Our job is to make sure that we continue to invest the resources that you trust us with in the mission of Jesus of making disciples in the world. So it's not about being big and being, you know, any. It's just about, can we together make more disciples of Jesus? Can we together allow more people to experience the kind of life change in their lives that you are experiencing when you show up every week? Can we together respond to the grace that Jesus has given to us? So here's what I want you to do this morning. I'm not asking for anything. Don't run to the back and throw an offering in the box. Unless you haven't done that yet. No. Here's what I want you to do. As we kind of wrap ourselves up this morning. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself this question. Am I giving truly in response to the measure of God's grace in my life? Am I giving truly in response to the measure of God's grace in my life? Or am I trying to get by with the minimum required? Am I giving in response to the measure of God's grace? Or am I doing the least that I could do? And here's what I know. No one else sitting in this room can answer that question. I cannot answer that question. And I cannot tell you whether you are or not, because I don't know. You know if you're giving in response to the measure of God's grace, if you're doing just what you can do to get by. And here's the goal. The goal is not 10%. The goal is not 90%. It's not any of that percent stuff. The goal is, can I live a generous life in response to God's grace? And when that's your goal, now all of a sudden you have to start to put handles on that, right? We all have goals. We got to start putting handles on it. We say, well, maybe I could move from where I am to this place. Where I am to this place. Am I being generous in response to the measure of God's grace in my life? We're going to pray this morning. And I'm going to ask you to think about that. I'm going to ask our worship team, they're going to come. And we're going to close together.